Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back. Oh, no. That's nowhere to start.
What the hell?
Why do we always have a right old giggle at the start of the show?
I don't think we've ever started the show. It's all downhill from there.
Look, we like fun and games. And welcome back to Nikki Bella's Terrible Life.
I will say, if you do get a chance, it sounds a little bit sort of like counterintuitive to say, go and watch Total Divas.
Yeah.
Because you do have to sit through a lot of British reality TV, very different from American.
Yeah.
So American, they often have storyline producers and stuff. And obviously there's a certain amount of them in British as well. Mm. But at least British ones, British people by and large, given a chance, will get really shit-faced and fuck. In America, obviously, it's much more sort of like, you know, you'd think something like Total Divas is going to be shit. A lot of it is all about, you know, so Natty forgot my birthday and it's not the first time. That is crap.
Yeah.
But what it is also is it's John Cena's single worst decision ever was to appear on that show, because what he did is he allowed cameras into the strange, bizarre world of John Cena.
But was he, did he not, would he not have turned on to John Cena, public John Cena, and that's why he comes across so strangely?
I think he thinks he's quite an inspirational character, and he is like this wise military man who is super successful. And it's almost that thing of going, I am very successful, so I cannot be in any way weird. He success made him weird.
Yeah.
And his whole sort of, you know, corporate speak, inspirational, you know, poster, tweeting and everything, where you are just going, have you forgotten who you are or what you are? And you've just become this weird brand. And it's a brand man walking around a big house, just sort of talking down to women. I mean, it's just weird. How differently, like Daniel Bryan, who is married to Brie Bella, comes across.
Yeah.
You will like Daniel Bryan 10 times more.
Right.
You will find John Cena watching Total Divas, and it's the only reason to watch it, 100 times stranger than you ever imagined he would be. Just a strange, cold, weird man. It really gives you the creeps. Honestly, if you had a sister and you met him, you'd be like, just going out with John Cena. Within 2 weeks, you'd be going, it's just something not right.
Yeah.
Something not right.
Yeah. What is it? He owns a shed. Where's that shed? What is that?
he won't tell me. A lot of the rooms in the house are locked, but he says I mustn't go in.
Even if I
think I hear voices from them, I must never open the door. Oh God!
It's just a room is full of like broken drill bits. There's loads of them. What's that about?
It's just children's shoes, hundreds of them, but they're brand new. Don't mean anything. Hey, welcome back to WrestleMania 33, yes. And we are going to go through. When I was watching it, I was thinking, oh, right, this must be the main event. I had that thing of not really paying much attention.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one who thought it was the main event. Triple H thought it was the main event. Here he comes. It's Triple H versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins hot at this point. Really, really good. I think the WWE are beginning to spread bet a bit on this, and they are going, Seth Rollins is remarkably over. We're having a little bit of teething problems with Roman Reigns getting him over.
Yeah.
So I think they've sort of gone, do you know what? Maybe we should invest a little bit in this guy being the number one, just in case the Roman Reigns thing really doesn't work out. Worst comes to worst, you get 2 stars.
Yeah.
Good thing to remember that if you don't put all your eggs in one basket, you can make more stars. and that's what the WWE have been singularly quite bad at doing. Seth Rollins goes up against Triple H here. there's a sense as well that they're trying to do two things. One is slightly repeat that Daniel Bryan storyline from WrestleMania 30 that was so successful about the idea that, you know, Triple H is holding the talent down.
Yeah.
And the other one, of course, is saying that Seth Rollins will be passed the torch by Triple H. He comes out, Seth Rollins, holding a literal fucking torch. I mean, it couldn't have been any worse had Triple H come out with the torch, wrestled the whole match with it, and at the end actually passed it to him. You know, it's very, very strong. I think the other thing that Triple H likes about this is Triple H and Seth Rollins, not 1,000,000%, but they do look a bit like each other.
Right.
They've got quite big noses. And I think Triple H has sort of gone, he is just like a young me. And you go, well, he wrestles differently and he's different. And Triple H would go, yeah, there are similarities. And I think what it would always come down to is you'd go, the nose.
He's got my nose.
He's got my nose. Yeah. And I think Triple H obviously goes, I like him. There's something intangible about him that I just feel,
he's got, you know, a big nose like you, mate. He's got a big old conch.
There must be more to it than that. No, I don't think there is. No. Think of all the people you buried over the years. And there's one comes along and he's got your similar nose.
I like that guy's moxie.
In comes Triple H on his big bike.
Yeah, I know those bikes are meant to be cool and that, but the two wheels at the back just makes it look so like a little tricycle.
Do you know what happens? I think those bikes get to a certain size and then they tip over into being a mobility scooter.
Yes.
They've gone from motorbike to going, you're like one of those quite fancy ones that you tend to see, weirdly, parked outside pubs. You know, it's always someone who's got a bit of spending cash. Yeah. They've got quite an upmarket, you know, mobility scooter. You go to Barnet, you see them a lot outside the pubs there. They're, you know, just taking them down there. The entrance is weird as well because Triple H has a load of popo around it, which is weird.
Yeah, the places there.
Yeah. I mean, not like private security.
No, the actual police. Yeah, because that was never his gimmick, was it?
No.
Wasn't a big police. He was a barbarian for a bit.
Yeah. And now he's a police. King of kings.
Now he owns a private fleet of police enthusiasts.
Yeah, he does a bit of quid pro quo work with the local police.
I don't
quite know what it is. Yeah. They also, the entrance is shit. Mm. Let's face it. Mm. He is sitting on his big mobility scooter.
Yeah.
The police are all parked at the side. And then after a certain amount of time, the police form a convoy down the ramp.
Yeah.
They put all their lights on. They go, woo, woo, woo. And he comes down from the back. He drives to the ring. He goes round the ring. He parks it. He revs it. And he gets off. There's a lot of movement and not much spectacle.
No, yeah. It was a bit like me parking my scooter in Tesco or Waitrose.
The police thing as well, that's something that has sort of dated a bit, isn't it?
It has. Very quickly.
Yeah, you sort of look at it and you kind of go, at the time you'd be like, oh, he's a serious CEO. And now I just sort of go, okay, you're really into the police.
Yeah, so he's a... So he's a businessman now.
Yeah.
So he's a businessman. Like, oh, so is that why they're protecting him?
I presume so.
He's like a convoy
CEO.
Yeah.
You know, and they're
right.
But again,
he's a risk. That's
I just look at it now. I just go, you know, it's the police though. I looked at that and I went, I wonder if any of those are crooked. Possible way of doing it.
Just waving the protesters.
Yeah. I mean, that said, you know, I slag off the entrance. Triple H looks fucking brilliant here. I really like this era of a sort of grizzled, irritable corporate bully who's really easily slighted by younger men.
Mm.
I really like that. Like he finds it, they sort of go, I'm going to beat you. And he's like, that is an attack on my masculinity by a young whelp.
Yeah.
By, you know, well, I'll
my wife with me.
Yeah,
well.
I will teach you a fucking lesson. And do you know what? My wife's going to watch me do it. Still, plenty of life still, in the old dog yet.
Still got it. I mean, for 5 minutes.
But that's all I'm going to need. You know?
How long is this match? Where's my little list?
It's the longest match, Pete, on the show.
It's a non-sanctioned 25 and a half minute. He is good to leave the ring in about five.
Yeah.
He just starts blowing like you wouldn't believe. And he's been doing this for the last 5 years. He looks great. He's in good nick. But I don't know what you do to yourself physically to get that muscular and have no intensity in your training at all.
No.
That you go... Just do a few matches before that are at equal amounts of time.
I mean, do we really want that, though, Pete? Is the answer.
Well, just be good at the 25 minutes, even if 20 minutes of those are just you exchanging punches.
So, here's the thing. Maybe if 25 minutes is hard, go for 12. Yeah. That's what yeah. it takes. Go for 12.
Half it until it's not a problem.
Absolutely. What happens here is we've started the first of what I would say are five matches where the people in it believe it's the main event.
And right, yeah.
Triple H going for 25 minutes with this, it's just not necessary. Mm. It doesn't need to be this.
Has Triple H ever, like, it would be better for Triple H if he didn't have an entrance. Like, yeah. it would be refreshing.
It'd yeah.
Because like, you always know he's going to have a 5 minute entrance.
I tell you what, the other thing I noticed about this, no one else has an entrance.
No.
Only Triple H
See,
goes, it's
one.
Really important for me to get, like, some cars and some police. But, you know,
barely
Undertaker, Undertaker, you can walk. I know it's the main event. Roman Reigns, you're fine. You're well over. even Seth Rollins, you go, well, maybe Seth could. No. Do you know what? I've done this, and Sasha Banks got to go on something similar, which is clearly from the same place. That is all the entrances that we need. This felt so long. It just felt so long. 25 minutes, he's saying 30 seconds. Once again, you use these matches slightly as saying Triple H is not the hog that we talk about all the time, because this match made him the man who has lost at the most WrestleManias.
Right.
Previously, Shawn Michaels was tied with 11 defeats, and this one extra made Triple H have lost 12 matches. He's 9 wins and 12 matches overall at this
point.
And
he's been in a lot of them, though, to be fair, and he's put himself in every single one of them.
When you give yourself the longest match each time, when you always have a match against the hottest person in that year, you know, you can't say, well, I lost. You sort of go, yeah, but you took up 25 minutes and you took away Seth Rollins from the rest of the card.
Yeah.
You know, beating Triple H is not the thing where you go, now you are a star.
Mm.
You could have done that by having a main event, say, of Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. You could have made two guys really big there, like we used to do with Rock and Stone Cold. You know, Rock did not have to continually beat Greg the Hammer Valentine, right?
I wouldn't even like that.
To get over.
Yeah.
You know, what you did is you took two people with a great chemistry and you put them together and the whole sport was lifted. Triple H is like, no, the sport is basically, if you beat me, then you are a big star.
Mm.
And it's just tiring. The crowd only react to it at all when Stephanie goes through a table, which is, again, sort of slightly weird. Yes, it's the table, but it's also that slight thing of they go, yeah.
Women are like, hurting.
Like it when a woman goes through a table. Lovely stuff. And then Triple H gets hit with a pedigree by Seth Rollins. And that is the passing of the torch. Not sure it's Triple H's last WrestleMania.
Probably isn't, is it?
Torch was passed,
yeah.
But he has other torches.
Yeah, so, he's got a cavern full of them.
you don't just have one torch.
No.
If it goes out, you're fucked. He's got loads. Then, wonder of wonders. As I'm thinking, will this never end?
Yeah.
Out comes Pitbull for three songs, Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide!
He is. I mean, I only really know him from Limmy's show. From Limmy's tweets or whatever
Pitbull,
it is.
There was Pitbull, then there was Near Pitbull, and then there was Pitbull.
Yeah. I only really know him from that, and I must have seen this before, but it left no impression. What is he?
Yeah.
What is this? He's not a musician, is he?
No.
Everyone is doing music about him, and when he does it, it's not music. He's just a yeller, a sort of yeller who is really satisfied with what he's bringing to the table.
He's the Leisure Suit Larry for the millennial generation.
He was a deeply unlikable young man. He really was. I say young man. He looked about 50. I don't know what he is. But
I remember sort of being in a bar club in Tokyo, and a man, a Japanese bloke, bald Japanese man in a suit, was wearing sunglasses indoors, and he could have passed for Pitbull. Any man of a certain age, no hair.
Yeah, that's why he's Mr. Worldwide.
He's Mr. Worldwide because
worldwide, you will see men who look like him.
I was in, where was I? A friend of the show, Craig Mellis, we were in, I want to say, Portugal or somewhere, and it may even have been Vienna, actually, and two very different places. And we were a bit pissed, and we went to a club, and there was a Mr. Worldwide impression, uh-huh. like a tribute act. I wasn't convinced it was definitely not him. And I was like, oh my God, is that? And I kept looking at him. But the problem is, I didn't know what he looked like in the first place. So I had nothing to compare him to.
Even if you look at him, you can't see him.
No.
There's no sort of distinguishing.
He could walk down the street and no one would really sort of.
I picture him like a silhouette. I can picture sort of like his body shape.
I know what the Leica mobile mascot looks like. Similar physique, similar big heads.
Yeah.
But one of them is a world. At least that is, you know, it's got a bit of charisma to it.
Yeah. He is a perplexingly strange, slippery person. I'm not convinced he's actually real. It does seem like it's the sort of thing where you go, did you not realize that for the last 10 years, Pitbull is just generated? It's a generated yes. thing, and it's a sort of, we've never said this, but we wanted to show the technology works.
Yeah, the deep clicking, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't actually fooled by that. I sort of get it.
It's just like there's no reason why, if you're going to choose to create someone, create like a young popstrel or something. Create an old
that's
man.
That's one of the things I found most an strange Cuban about Pitbull. Man. That's the thing I found most strange, is I was like, he's not good at this, but he also looks shit.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, so he must be really talented to have got to where he is, because everything I see him do or see the way he looks like is let's face it, shit.
He's a funny-looking man.
What's your hang?
Armando, you know? Christian Perez, known professionally by Stacey and Pitbull. Yeah, he was making Latin hip-hop and crunk music under a multitude of labels in Miami. Oh, he's from Miami. Right. Mm. There you go. Oh,
Mr. Worldwide. How is Pitbull doing three songs making this WrestleMania shorter?
That's my big question.
I've marked in my notes, I started watching this at 10:30. By the time we reached this point, it was then 4:45. Pitbull is making everything worse.
He said he chose a stadium of Pitbull because the dogs bite to lock. The dog is too stupid to lose, and they're outlawed in Dade County.
Oh, I like him now.
Yeah, it's good.
That is good line.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, let's get on to, from good lines, Peter, let's get on to bad wrestling matches.
Okay, then.
Randy Orton versus the WWE Universal Champion Bray Wyatt.
Now, I like Bray Wyatt's aesthetic the first few times I've seen it, but even my love of this gimmick is starting to wane a little.
Completely. I'll just say that he's not the Universal Champion. I threw that in, but I get very nervous that people will sit there itching, going, I got it wrong. The Bray Wyatt character at this
Mr.
point.
Mr. Wyatt!
Mr. Wyatt, Bray Wyatt!
Mr. Wyatt!
He had a gimmick that was, at this point, as hot as it ever was. Mm. And they'd really, really stuck a rocket under him by giving him the Universal title. Right. No, the WWE title. It's exactly the same mistake I made. Yeah, they begin having too many belts here.
What is the Universal title?
The Universal title is the one that was held by Kevin Owens, which Goldberg won.
Right.
And then the WWE title is one that Bray Wyatt won from somebody else.
Oh, good.
I don't know who.
Right.
The Wyatt character was huge. People really, really got behind it. They really, really liked it. And they just felt that what the character would be was limiting and that they'd never make Bray Wyatt in this sort of persona a champion of the brand. Mm. It just wouldn't be the thing when you could have Randy Orton or someone like that. And they did make Bray Wyatt the champion. And it seemed like a real breakthrough. Mm. This was the first sort of, if you like, character who was a champion for a long, long time, you know, since really the sort of, you know, since Kane and Undertaker, really. People were really, really keen on this character. And the more they pushed it, the bigger it became. So as long as they didn't have him just lose the belt to Randy Orton in this match, then, you know, that was a thing that could grow and grow and grow. instead, of course, well done, they fuck it right up. When, like, bad matches happen, there is one thing that you can have when you watch it is you go, well, I've got through it. I didn't know it was bad in advance. Mm. I've put myself through it, but now I never have to watch it again. And I remember thinking that when I saw this the first time. And when it started this time, I actually had a feeling of fucking dread. Bray Wyatt would sort of go, oh, that's exactly what I'm trying. No.
No, 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 it was, not that kind of dread.
I would say it's nothing to do with you. It did have something to do with you because you were in the match.
Yeah.
But I properly thought, I remember this being a bad time.
And this reminds me of a bad time.
I really dreaded sort of sitting through it again because I thought, I remember this being so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely interminable. It's so boring.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of it is Randy Orton just pacing around, just looking out at the crowd and not doing anything. It is just Bray Wyatt will then walk from here and there, laugh, walk over here. Randy Orton, walk, look.
Worms. Maggots.
I mean, the maggots and the flies being projected onto the ring.
Yeah.
It's a cool effect.
Yeah.
It didn't have anything beyond that.
No.
So when they flick it on the ring the first time, everyone goes, whoa!
Yeah.
And they go, no, it's just a slide.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt has just set up a slide system to show you some maggots.
And the referee is like, he sort of jumps out of the ring.
Whoa!
Big maggots.
No, do you know, I've got a real, I'm terrified of slides being projected. I mean, it's a good effect, but it doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do it and you go, fuck, everyone fell over.
Yeah, because the thing that gets me is, right, if you're lying down on a ring and something's projected, A, you can't see it anyway, and so Randy Orton wouldn't really figure out what the hell was going on. And also, the maggots and the cockroaches and stuff, they would have had a conversation about, right, this high-definition projector that we're getting flown in for, you know, fucking 40 grand a night, do we want the maggots to be life-size or big maggots?
Yes.
Because if they're big maggots, it's not really realistic for the wrestler to be scared of them.
No.
It's clearly just, well, they don't exist.
That's a light. That's have a slide. Is there a... Yeah, I can see it's coming out from there. Yeah. But that's the thing, isn't it? You sort of go, what is it? What's the end game of this? Yeah. What was it supposed to do? You know, it's playing mind games with Randy Orton. The number of times on WWE, they will say playing mind games.
Yeah.
I think in this WrestleMania, there's actually a bit where Baron Corbin hits Dean Ambrose with like a stick.
Yeah.
And the commentator goes, playing mind games with Dean Ambrose. Right? That is a perfect example of them going, playing mind games.
Yeah, I've got nothing to say about this.
If someone like jumps out at you and goes, boo, and you just go, I'd already seen you.
Yeah.
You can't just go, it's mind games. Things that don't work
aren't
mind games. There is no end result to that. What was he expect? How was that going to help him win the match? How was it? Bray Wyatt, sit down. How is that going to help you?
I know you're tired because of the Capitol Hill protesting into the weekend. A lot of men who look like Bray Wyatt at that particular demonstration.
The best thing about it is when he does the third one, which I think is the maggot one, that the mind games have worked so well that Randy Orton immediately hits him with an RKO and the match is over. The crowd, silent throughout, and rightly, because nothing fucking happens.
Well, they start laughing at the cockroach bit.
They, go, oh. They do, yeah. Yeah. We paid for this. People look really, really disappointed in the audience when it happens. They look like, I did not see that coming. And it's not the look of, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because Randy Orton, when he wins matches, of course he does. He's Randy Orton. He's a main eventer. He's been a main eventer for 15 years by this point. When you get Bray Wyatt losing, people are going, did not see that coming because that doesn't make any fucking sense. WWE have a really, really, really bad habit of continually going back to Randy Orton when they're just like, this is going well, but maybe too well.
Yeah.
So let's give it to Randy Orton because then we can sort of take the temperature down a bit and we can just think about where
we're going.
I mean, it's just madness. The other thing that this match didn't do, and this is what is really frustrating, is it did not teach the WWE that stupid special effects and Bray Wyatt don't really go together. People don't watch Bray Wyatt because they like the fact that when he's in the Hell in a Cell, everything is in red light.
Yeah.
They like the character of Bray Wyatt. It's something new. It's something fresh. I mean, it has been going 6-7 years now. But what they don't like is the fucking gimmicks that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so when you see this, you're seeing the first time there's a failed gimmick with Bray Wyatt. And you're seeing the first time when the WWE go, no, I don't think it was the gimmick they hated. I think it was something else. Something entirely different.
Yeah.
The bits where they booed and laughed and you know, went quiet. Yes, they coincided with the special effects.
Mm.
But I think the crowd are wrong. So when I see that bit there, I just sort of go, there's a sort of sense of a company that refuses to learn because it's determined to say, no, we were right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it never worked. This match was actually voted the Wrestling Observer's worst match of the year for 2017. Again, that is not a protest vote. That is because if you've seen this match, it is the worst match of the year. It's so bad. What a waste of two people. There's a funny thing here where if you begin shuffling it around and you go, what matches would you have had that would have made it better? You can have your Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. You would have your Bray Wyatt versus, I don't know, anyone. But the match that you always end up with, because the two people who you don't really want to see on this WrestleMania, is always Triple H versus Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Every time that match has happened at WrestleMania, it's sort of stunk. And there's a funny thing about all the WrestleManias they've been in, with the exception of that brilliant match with Randy Orton and Seth Rollins that we watched, every single one of those matches, you just go, it would be a better WrestleMania if these two men were out.
Yeah.
Randy Orton, I really like as a talent. I think he's a really good guy. It's just that they book him so boringly. And this is a perfect example. Neither of those men you would expect to be in the worst match of the year. And when you see it, that is one of the worst matches you will ever see.
Mark, Randy burned down his house. He needed some closure on that.
He did.
Okay? He needed to.
The best way to do that would be to show him a slide of some moving insects.
Some big maggots.
And then lose. He won't do that again. All right, let's get on to the Universal Champion Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
Brockers.
This is the best part of the whole WrestleMania. It really is. It 100% is.
You said The Miz was the best part of the whole WrestleMania.
That was the best part of it.
This section of
the
WrestleMania.
This section,
thank
you, Pete. Thank you for picking up the slack.
Clearing up.
Let me just say, I was so relieved when this came along. I was so relieved. It was a change of pace.
Yeah.
There was something different. There was a match that didn't have to go to 20 minutes 11.
Yeah, it was short. It was a big spear party, but I enjoyed it.
It was brilliant. It was so much fun. A great little intro video as well. And they really did luck into a really good 15-year-old story here, which was that Lesnar had lost to Goldberg, never got his win back. And that happened at WrestleMania 20. And so you had this built sort of storyline where when they next tangled, Goldberg beat him again. And what they had done with Goldberg by this point is they'd set up that he had these very explosive, very short matches. Mm. He would hit two spears, get a jackhammer, and it'd be over.
Yeah.
And it was just a matter of going, would he survive the first minute to be able to hit his spear and jackhammer? And that's all it became. Now, this is the first WrestleMania for Goldberg since 20. Mm. That was back in 2004. From the time that he actually made his comeback to WWE, who'd had a big falling out with post-WrestleMania 20. He came back in October 2016, so 6 months before. Since then, he'd had four matches. In total, those four matches ran to a combined 9 minutes, 54 seconds.
A little squashing.
Yep, he beat Lesnar in 1:26 at the Survivor Series. He spent 3 minutes, 21 in the Royal Rumble. Lesnar pulled him out. And he had a two-move championship victory over Kevin Owens that took 22 seconds for the Universal title.
Is it just his physique? Why is Vince obsessed with Goldberg? Because obviously he's coming back again, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
Is it just the physique or the just he likes his...
Goldberg is one of the few legitimate stars from the greatest period of the modern wrestling industry who is still able going to perform at a level.
Level, right.
You compare him to, obviously, you know, you've lost Rock. You've got Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Your angle is, you know, too beaten up. You have one guy who came from that amazing period of huge, larger-than-life superstars, superheroes in the ring, and you've got Goldberg. There's also been a thing with Goldberg where the fans and the crowds, they like Goldberg. And Vince McMahon finds that perplexing and strange because he did not create Goldberg, so he does not really understand the gimmick.
Yeah.
They continually get Goldberg wrong. And there is something about Goldberg that I think Vince McMahon finds it like a loose tooth, where he's just sort of if I watch him again, maybe I'll understand it. On this run here in 2016 onwards, they did book him like an absolute monster. Mm. And it was a good decision.
Mm.
Goldberg, I am a huge fan of. And I think it's a strange thing. There are no other wrestlers like him that I like. But I love seeing Goldberg in these short, exciting, you know, anything can happen matches. And I think this is a perfect example of it. When he comes out, this match goes 4:45.
Mm.
So that is the main part that takes you up to the 9 minutes of the four matches he has. He Brock comes out in a beanie as well. Not part of Brock's look.
No.
And I just love the fact that Brock is like, I'm wearing a beanie. And you just get the impression everyone just sort of goes, I'm not going to say anything. You know, it's just going to take him out. Now, Goldberg, you know, does come out and he is booed by the crowd here. I think there's a sense of Goldberg has, since his comeback, has been slightly like, I don't really want to do this. I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I'll do it if the money is right.
Mm.
And he's also got a lack of a sense of humor. He very much feels slighted when people sort of go, I'm the master of the spear. And he'll be very much like, excuse me, maybe you've forgotten someone called Goldberg. Roman Reigns will go on TV and sort of go, I'm the master of the spear, you know, Goldberg, you know, you would bow before me. And he is literally like on the phone to Vince McMahon just going, did I hear one of your employees? I mean, he's got such a weird thin skin about it. He seems permanently surly and grumpy.
Yeah.
He seems permanently like, let's get this shit over.
Mm.
And that's what I like about him. I like Paul Heyman wanted to book Goldberg basically as this returning star who, every time you got a big up-and-comer, there'd come a point where Goldberg would stride into town and just go, think you're a tough guy, eh?
Mm.
Well, let's fucking have you. And it would just be used like a John Wayne character.
Right.
A final boss who pops up every now and then. That's never quite happened, but at this point, it was the closest it had come.
Mm.
What you get in this match is just, it's again, as a like an under 5 minute match, it's hard to think of many that are as exciting.
Mm.
It is from start to finish. It could go either way. Any of them could win. All of the moves are thrilling. Everything is means something within the context of the match. There's just a bit. Goldberg starts off doing two suplexes, and then Lesnar starts off doing two suplexes. The crowd are cheering that, and Goldberg hits him with a spear, which comes so suddenly that none of the cameras catch it. You just suddenly see Lesnar fold in two and dip out of the thing, and that sense of just explosive, sudden reversals.
Mm.
It's really, really good. The guys in this are massive. One of them is old, and they go at a pace that none of the other matches around them come close to approximating.
Mm.
It is just thrilling. And the crowd are finally into a WrestleMania match.
Mm.
They are cheering every single thing that happens. It could end at any moment, you know. You get some... you know, some up goes Goldberg for the F5, but he gets out, hits the spear. They get a two count. There's a kick out by Lesnar. Every single bit of that has got a massive woof out of the crowd. Goldberg gets on the receiving end of 10 German suplexes. The whole crowd doing the 10, which was the gimmick of Ty Dillinger, a guy called Sean Spears now in AEW. They all just do 10, 10, 10. This crowd have been dead throughout this WrestleMania. Mm. And you realize all they're waiting for is something that they can be excited by.
Yeah.
And this is the first match that gives it to them.
Under 5 minutes.
Under five, yeah. Mm. It is the best match on the main show. I prefer this match to AJ Styles and Shane McMahon because I think it has an entirely different feel and flavor to anything else on the card, and it's a welcome relief.
Mm.
It's boiled down pro wrestling. Two great big lads smashing into each other, not doing anything clever. They're just continually going back to the same four moves, and it is thrilling. It's properly good. I would say it's their whole series is very difficult to not watch and go, that was nothing but fun.
Yeah.
It would take you, under 10 minutes to watch, I think, three of them. They are brilliant. And I really, really, really enjoyed this match. I was so relieved. And it also, of course, signaled the end of WrestleMania 33.
Pretty much.
Are you fucking joking? So yes. Until next time, when we have two matches to talk about, one of them, it does involve The Undertaker. So I'm sure there'll be a frank and firm discussion and exchange of views regarding whether the elderly should be allowed to do this.
It's a big one. It's a big one.
We will see you very soon. Yes. Wrestle me, Pete!
Wrestle me, Mark!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.